Hi, Fatima. Thank you so much for joining us here on VOW FM 88.1. As I've mentioned, we will be discussing women's property rights. That's what today's entire episode is based around. And really, we wanted to bring in an expert on property and how it's developed in the last few years, specifically in regards to legislation and property ownership. We have a guest coming on later this evening that's going to be discussing family homes with us and kind of bring it more towards the ground. So we really wanted to get a lot more of like an oversight into how property ownership amongst women is being managed. So just to start us right off, you know, getting straight into it, I wanted to ask, what are the most significant legal challenges that women are facing when it comes to property ownership today?
Hi. So women in South Africa face several legal challenges, especially related to property ownership. And this is despite the constitutional protections that are in place. Some of the key challenges include, while South Africa has made strides to protect women's rights, in some rural areas, particularly customary law would favor the male heirs over female heirs in inheritance matters. And this has caused, quite a disparity in terms of women ownership. Even if it's not legally, their mindset is there, and that causes the mistaken belief that men is more entitled to property rather than women. Women, particularly in rural areas, often struggle to obtain loans for property purchases due to the lack of their collateral or credit history. Sometimes there's no understanding of the systems, whether it's the legal system, the banking system, or just the process that it entails in terms of obtaining property. And this limits their ability to acquire property independently. Many women, especially in the rural areas, are also unaware of their legal rights regarding property ownership. And this lack of knowledge often leads to them being taken advantage of in property transactions. This could be solved with more real-world education on a practical level, equipping communities with this knowledge at an earlier age.
Hi, Fatima, you still there? Perfect.
Yeah.
So now, thank you for bringing up how customary law really intersects with women's property rights in South Africa, because, you know, it's drawing on the 20-year anniversary of the very significant and impactful Bear judgment, which regarded male primogeniture and the fact that women could now also ascend to the throne in terms of that, you know, the constitutional court abolishing the concept of male primogeniture as unconstitutional. So what I wanted to ask, whether you feel that this has made an impact in women's property rights, whether you feel more women have started inheriting land, or you don't think we're really at the stage or we're feeling the effects yet?
So honestly, I don't think we're at that stage where women are inheriting equally to men. I think there's still a huge disparity between male and females. And I think that's because of cultural norms and traditional practices. Because if you look at the masses, they're still bound by the customary laws. And customary law always prevails over statutory law. And that goes down to, again, the inherent belief, cultural practices within the area. Not many are aware of their rights. And I mean, in many traditional communities, property is often passed down through male lineage, leading women to believe that they're excluded from inheriting land or property. And this belief not only reinforces their economic vulnerability, especially in cases of widowhood or divorce, but also perpetuates a cycle of disempowerment. I think sometimes, you know, the payment of lobola can sometimes lead to women being viewed as property themselves, which diminishes their standing in negotiations over their property ownership within their marriage or their future marriage.
Mm. So I think you brought up a very important point, which is the fact that customary law is more like oftentimes overrides statutory law. So do you think that this has things like this? Do you think it's the enforcement of property law? Do you think it's created a disparity between how women in urban areas, how they engage with property, with their property rights versus women in rural areas?
Yes, definitely. I mean, the people within the urban areas have more access to information. I think they also tend to meet like-minded people, and they have the ability to have the education, whether it is walking into a pro bono center, whether it is the internet, for example, you know, just searching things. Whereas in the rural areas, how many people have that ability that they can just walk into a community center and find out what is my property rights, or walk into a bank for that matter? How far would they have to go before they even get to a banking facility?
That makes sense. It seems like almost an access to resources type of thing.
Yes.
So now going into what women in urban areas go through. I know in your article you've brought up acts such as the national, you build up like the National Building Regulations and the Building Standards Act, and these seem very much geared towards women in urban planning. Do you think you could just elaborate to the difficulties that women in urban areas might be struggling with?
So in particular, those acts would be looking at the property developers. So you're looking at whether it is individuals, so male individuals, or companies who are essentially owned by male shareholding. They seem to be more the property developers. They seem to be, whether it is owning or developing or in construction or all of the, you know, in terms of that sector, very seldom do you see women in that space. And if a woman does tend to be a property developer, again, all the others that follow suit, again, development, construction, would then be male dominated as well.
So Fatima, now, if I'm sure you've seen recently that the LPC are wanting to introduce a minimum wage for candidate attorneys. And I think this will go, for example, will go a long way in making the field more accessible for previously disadvantaged people, you know, making the legal field more accessible. What do you have any ideas what kinds of policy changes could be introduced to essentially address what you've just mentioned, the fact that in the property development space, there, you know, it's still very male dominated?
So I think strengthening legal awareness and education, preferably from a younger age, not only later in life when problems have already arisen, reforming customary laws so that they better align with the constitutional principles of gender equality. This includes ensuring that women have equal inheritance rights, as well as and the patriarchal practices being addressed with regards to having, you know, you mentioned the LPC's minimum wage for candidate attorneys. Again, that is just the stepping stone. That's just level one. We need to address it going beyond that, because how many people are able to purchase their first home just as a candidate attorney? Very seldom.
Very true.
So it's not just the beginning level where you want to say, oh, let's just have equal footing for everybody. Everybody starts at the equal footing. Fair enough. That is required. But it's not only at that level. It is also going forward. It's also as they progress in their careers, as they progress in their sector, that men and women are then given equal opportunities, whether it is the meetings, whether it is golf days, whether it is, you know, all these things matter.
Mm. So now, Fatima, before we wrap up, I guess I want to end it on somewhat of a positive note. And do you think you could bring up, you know, because obviously I think our courts are very progressive and our courts love doing, they often give very positive judgments, which I think push the culture a little bit more in the right direction. So do you think you could elaborate on other impactful changes that have sort of made progress? Because, you know, progress is progress, no matter how small. Do you think you could, like, enlighten us on, like, what progress has been made?
So definitely, there has been progress, and that is seen in terms of change of statutory law, in terms of case law. There is a change, and there is a change towards better in our system. An example would be the Recognition of Customary Marriages Act, the Interstate Succession Act, and the reform of customary laws of succession and regulation of related matters. These laws aim to protect women's rights to inherit property, even in the context of customary laws, so that they show that, you know, there's some sort of equal footing between men and women. There's the abolishment of the the abolishment of marital power that was, you know, came into effect also a few years ago. These are the changes, but the impact, you do not see it as the law changes. You see it gradually as the years go by, as people progress, as people's minds change, and there's a shift in the generation.
Okay, so that, like I said, that it leaves a little bit of joy in my heart knowing that it is gradual, as much as it might not be at the pace everybody wants. It's, yes, it's going somewhere.
Yes, definitely. No, it is.
Fatima, thank you so much for joining us this evening. That was Fatima Gatu, the director in the real estate practice at Cliff Decker Hofmeyr, enlightening us on what legislative steps have been taken to ensure that women have access to their own property rights. And, you know, she's one of the few women who specialize in commercial property transactions. So definitely somebody with enough gravitas to tell us what's going on. Thank you so much, Fatima.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.